What's up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Another good one for you today, as the Warriors had their open practice yesterday, open to fans, maybe season ticket. I don't know the exact criteria for entrance, but it was a lot of fun. Fitz said something dumb. DeMarcus was funny. Steph did something amazing. A bunch of great stuff. And then a little preview of tonight's game. So all that's coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Another quick, good one for you today. As always, I need another tagline. I say that all the time. But the Warriors held their open practice yesterday. I guess they just called it an open practice. And it was fun. It's definitely one of my favorite events of the year for all teams, really, because you get the rookies out there singing or dancing or, you know, embarrassing themselves, which apparently is a rite of passage for a rookie. I think it's pretty funny. I'm sure someone will complain about it, but I liked it. And it did not disappoint. Not only did we have the rookie show, which I'll get to, Steph, if he wasn't on the Warriors, or, I mean, I'd still like him on another team, but he's just so damn good at everything, it's annoying. I think they were about to do a half-court shot contest, and Steve Kerr is getting on the mic. He's like, all right, what we're about to do, and Steph just flings the ball back to the basket at half-court over his head. Nothing but net. Drops right in. I'm sure you've all seen it on Twitter. If not, go check it out. The videos are pretty hilarious. And Steve just proceeded to walk off the court. He's like, forget it. What am I supposed to do after Steph does that? It's just one of those things that Steph does and probably only Steph can do. And it was pretty funny / I don't know, impressive. And him and Quinn, you know, did a little handshake celebration. It was pretty hilarious. So that was one of them. Boogie Cousins. I just have to, I don't know if pinch myself is the right term, but I'm still not used to Boogie being a Warrior. DeMarcus Cousins is a Golden State Warrior. Like, every time I see it, it kind of makes me laugh a little bit. But he went and found two kids. It's kind of similar to the Klay Thompson impersonator. Boogie went and found a pair of twins that they know they look like Steph. They were wearing Steph Curry jerseys, and they know that they have a striking resemblance to Steph Curry. And Boogie went out and brought him onto the court and, you know, messed with him a little bit. It was pretty funny. Steph went over there. It was just a funny time. It's always good to see players' personalities a little more and see them be a little more carefree, even though they are rather carefree anyways, because it's the Warriors and you win, 60 games a year, you get to be a little, have some more fun, etc. But to see them where there's no real business, you know, they're all just there having a good time, putting on a show for the fans, which was great. DeMarcus, solid move going and getting the Curry impersonators out of the stands, because it was pretty hilarious. And they really did both resemble Steph very much. It was pretty hilarious. What else? As far as the singing went, I think Nick Kerr, Steve Kerr's son, stole the show. He did a rousing rendition of Blow the Whistle. He censored himself as well, which was very smart. But he censored himself while singing it, but he nailed it, nailed every word. The crowd finished off what Too Short's favorite word is, and it was hilarious. He nailed it. It was funny. It's so awkward that they make them do it, and like even Nick, who nailed it, is just up there kind of timid because you're in front of thousands of people. I'm supposed to sing, like, I don't know. It was pretty funny. Jacob Evans did "Man in the Mirror" by Michael Jackson. He probably wouldn't make it to the next stage on American Idol. I don't even know if that's the right term. I've never seen American Idol, but or The Voice or whatever. He wouldn't be the next guy, but solid effort for sure. And I believe I'm going to start calling him the Man in the Mirror from now on. I think that's what I'm going to go with for Jacob Evans. Let me know if that's stupid or not. Well, you know what? You don't have to let me know. It is stupid, but I'm going to do it anyways. I'm pretty stupid myself. So Jordan Bell got on the mic as well and did, oh God, I forget the song, but it was some love song. By the way, the audio wasn't great. If the audio was better, I'd be playing it for you guys. This is one of those frustrating situations where the audio's not good, and since this is an audio medium, you know, nothing I can do. I wish I could play the videos for you guys because the visuals are pretty hilarious, especially Jordan Bell. Jordan Bell is a showman, okay? I think we learned that with the backboard alley-oop dunk that he threw down against the Mavs that got a lot of right-wing America in their feelings about sportsmanship or some shit, I don't know. But Jordan Bell sung a song. Again, I forget which song it was. Oh or Yo or something like that. Some sort of love song, and I believe his girlfriend was in the front row, and he started dancing over there and faked getting down on a knee to propose. Big fan of Jordan Bell. As a player, person, all that stuff. He gets it. He's a showman. I love it. Love it. So I think that was most of Marcus Derrickson sang Basketball. Some might know it as a Bow Wow song. I think it's a Curtis Blow song that goes like this.
Basketball is my favorite sport. I like the way to dribble up and down the court. Just like out the canal, the microphone.
Sorry, I had to play it. It is so bad, but it's classic, you guys. Just a song about basketball. It's his favorite sport. But I think that was it for the open practice. It was fun. DeMarcus Cousins is there. He's an interesting presence to have around. Like I said, man, I don't know when I'll get used to it. Maybe when he starts actually getting on the court and playing, which will still be another 3-4 months away. But for now, I'm just blown away every time I see it, honestly. And it's great. I'm pretty happy with it. You guys should be too. You know what else I'm pretty happy with? Vivid Seats. We all love a night out, whether it's seeing our favorite band in person or being there in the crowd to cheer on our favorite team, the Golden State Warriors. With Vivid Seats, you can attend the concert, show, or sporting event of your choice at a great price. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice. To make things even better, Vivid Seats is giving listeners an exclusive promo code for new customers to receive $20 off orders of $200 or more to save even more money. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and enter promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more as new customers of Vivid Seats. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let Vivid Seats help you get to your favorite live event. Welcome back to Locked On, the Golden State Warriors. Should I start throwing that in there? The full name? Really get some oomph behind it? Because people are confusing what Warriors I'm talking about. I'm sure. Tonight, at Oracle Arena, the Golden State Warriors are taking on the team that had the first overall pick in the 2018 NBA draft, the Phoenix Suns. And there's actually a little bit of news that I'm going to touch on before we get to the game. They fired their GM, Ryan McDonough, I think is the name. You see, I'm just flying by the seat of my pants here. Is Ryan McDonough the GM or is that the Monday Night Football guy? I'm not sure. Either way, they fired their GM, which I don't know. I guess it makes sense because of their poor history as of late, but also at the same time, I like what he did this offseason. I like what he did with this team. I like the Ryan Anderson move, honestly. Look, for a team like the Warriors, for a team like the Rockets, whose goal is to beat the Warriors, Ryan Anderson's a bad fit. If your goal is to win a championship, paying Ryan Anderson $20 million, it's a bad fit. If your goal is to fight for the eighth seed and you're paying Ryan Anderson $20 million and you have that money to spare because you're the Phoenix Suns and don't have a lot of – you have a ton of rookies and young players on rookie deals, it makes sense. I think he's going to help Phoenix. But he's a liability in the playoffs. He's a liability against, you know, the Warriors and Steph Curry or whoever. He will get exposed. But at the same time, he can be useful. And they got him getting rid of Marquese Chriss, who I like the move for Houston, potentially. I mean, we'll see. He could flame out. But you got rid of a guy who wasn't working out. And it was probably best for both sides. Marquese Chriss gets a fresh start in Houston, where he doesn't have the pressure of being a top 10 pick. And then they get to get rid of Marquese Chriss, who it just didn't work out for him. Brandon Knight as well. That was money that they were paying a guy who was constantly hurt. And they were willing to take him on. So it's a, I don't know, firing McDonough makes sense, and it doesn't at the same time. Maybe they figured, you know, you got us to this point. You got us to where we have DeAndre Ayton, Devin Booker, Ryan Anderson, Trevor Ariza. I forgot the Trevor Ariza move. I thought that was great for them also. The Bridges kid out of Villanova. Josh Jackson, TJ Warren. Like, I think this team is underrated. And if they're fighting for an 8 seed towards the end of the year, I wouldn't be too surprised. Might be a little surprised if they get it, but to be in the fight, I wouldn't surprise me. So they let go of Ryan McDonough. I don't know who their GM is going to be moving forward. They have not made an announcement yet, but just an interesting move on their part. We'll see what happens. Now, on to the game. Tonight, Oracle Arena. Your NBA champs, Golden State Warriors, are taking on your number one overall pick, having Phoenix Suns. I know, I'm trying to juice everyone up on this. It's still preseason. It's still going to be fun. And a lot of my talking points are still kind of the same as last game. And I think that's what it's going to be like throughout the preseason and even early in the year, because like we said, we know what Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant and Draymond Green are. You know, we already know. We know what Andre Iguodala is. We know what Sean Livingston is. So the intrigue is in the bottom nine. Well, geez, they don't even have, I guess, the bottom seven players, since they only really have 13 players under contract. And then if you throw in some of the other guys, the fringe guys like Daniel House, Damian Lee, Marcus Derrickson, all that. But I mentioned Draymond. We already know what he is and what we have with him. I think last podcast I mentioned he was going to be out for the rest of the preseason, which was incorrect. Apparently the new target is for him to play on Wednesday against the Lakers, which I'm great. Love Draymond playing. I wonder if it's worth it to play him in preseason after he just had a little tweak. But again, that's probably just overthinking it. And whatever, if he's good to go, let him play. So that's some current news. I also want to mention, or I'll get to that later, but so with Draymond being out tonight, he's still out, I would imagine they'll let Marcus Derrickson start again, who, you guys, I like him. I'm pretty high on him. I think he'd be a good fit with the Warriors. I know they're not going to carry 15 players, and we'll see what happens with him. I would love it if they could keep him in the Santa Cruz system, maybe a two-way contract or something to kind of keep his rights, because I do think he has a future in the NBA, and I think he'd be a good fit if his future was with the Warriors, because he's proven to be a solid rebounder, not just a shooter, but he is a shooter. And watching Jonas Jerebko, I'm not giving up on him yet at all. But if there's a similar situation to last year where Omri Caspi didn't work out, and let's say Jonas Jerebko doesn't work out, where last year they had to get rid of, or didn't have to, well, they kind of had to. When they end up letting Omri Caspi go, they just brought up Quinn Cook. So where if Jonas Jerebko doesn't work out, to me, the guy that you'd bring up at this moment would be Marcus Derrickson, because Marcus Derrickson would be the same type of player that you thought you were getting with Jerebko. And you still might get it. Again, we're two games into the preseason. Jerebko is probably going to be fine. But I would not want to lose any rights to Marcus Derrickson or just lose him to another team, period. But we'll see what happens with him. He's just a guy I'm high on. And like I've said before, it is important for the Warriors that not only that they find guys in the second round and undrafted, but they hang on to them. Because, look, if you find Marcus Derrickson and he goes somewhere else, it doesn't matter. But if they find Marcus Derrickson and are able to keep him for 4 years under, you know, team-controlled contracts, and he's a contributor, that's huge for a team that's going to be way over the salary cap with four All-Stars or however many they're going to have. But if you find a guy undrafted or second round, you can't hang on to him, kind of shit out of luck. But, and that's also part of what kind of makes the Pat McCaw stuff a little frustrating, is not only can he help this team, his salary being team controlled is a good thing for the Warriors. Now, who knows what's going to happen with him, man. I want it to be resolved. I want Jimmy Butler to get traded, and I want Pat McCaw to figure it out. Am I the only one that's up at like 1 a.m. checking my phone as if the trade's going to go through at 1 a.m. and I'm going to be the first one to see it or something? I am the only one? Okay, I guess I'm an idiot. But hope you enjoyed that left turn I just took. But yeah, I'd like Jimmy Butler and Pat McCaw to figure out their situations. And it's really stupid that they're connected. You know, an all-star Jimmy Butler is trying to get traded, and for some reason the 14th man on the Warriors is waiting for that to happen to figure out his future. But anyways, I digress. Back to the Warriors tonight. Damian Jones, I know I'm repeating myself, but this is what it is, guys. Damian Jones, looking at him tonight, how well does he fit with the Warriors? Does he deserve to get his fourth-year option picked up? I've been on record saying I think it is that, yes, he does deserve it because the money isn't that crazy, and at the very least, you have a guy that can do some things that others can't. You know, who knows what happens with Marquise Chris? Maybe it doesn't work out in Houston and the Warriors can get him for the minimum next year or something. Okay, cool. But the thing is, you have a guy with a similar skill set already. And so not only is it, you know, interesting to look at Damian Jones and the contract stuff and just how he plays overall, but also the fact that he's going up against DeAndre Ayton tonight, or DeAndre Ayton's going up against Damian Jones, however you want to look at it. Because even though Damian Jones doesn't have a ton of experience in the NBA yet, he still has more than DeAndre Ayton. And DeAndre Ayton has looked pretty good so far. Like, he's looked solid. We'll see what happens moving forward as far as, you know, how Luka Doncic is and how all these rookies pan out. But that number one overall pick for DeAndre Ayton is looking pretty good. Pretty damn good. Damian Lee, who I've mentioned before, he has a minor injury, and that's why we haven't seen him. And I've mentioned him because I was surprised we hadn't seen him yet, and maybe they were just fine with him being their two-way contract guy, but apparently he has some minor injury, and that's why we haven't seen him go yet. I would love to see Daniel House get more time tonight. Just want to see what... can he be the guy to take Pat McCaw's spot? Or is he destined for the G League or just another team, really? I like his athleticism. I like his ability. I'd like to just see him play more to kind of break down just his game more, to see his opportunities go up and, you know, kind of see what he can do. But I don't know. Hopefully we see it tonight, but I don't know if we will. I would expect Marcus Derrickson to start for Draymond, where Daniel House is like a big dude. He's 6'6", 6'7", about 220-something, 230. So he can play some power forward if you need it. He's not ideal for the power forward. But, you know, they've had Andre Iguodala play power forward in certain situations where Daniel House might be able to do that. And that's something that Pat McCaw can't do. Pat McCaw might be able to guard 1 through 3, but I don't want him on the 4 or 5, personally. So he's a guy I'm looking out for. Tyler Ulis. I like Tyler Ulis a lot. I like his game. There's just not room for him on the Warriors. I think he's destined for Santa Cruz, which isn't a bad thing. Possibly a 10-day, or 10-day, a two-way. But I think they're going to look to spend their two-ways on wings, and they already have one with Damian Lee. I'm not sure if Damian Lee is out again tonight, but if he gets some run, he's another guy I'm going to be looking at. So that's about it. Jacob Evans, the man in the mirror. I'm hoping to see a little more from him tonight. Maybe it's he needs more run, whatever. But I'd like to, I don't know, see him knock down some shots. Or, hell, you don't have to knock down shots, but can you get to the bucket? Can you just show some of your versatility that we've heard about? So I want to see some of that. We'll see what happens. Who knows? I think that's about it as far as what to look for tonight. Jonas Jerebko, can he kind of get going? Knock down a three or a couple threes? We'll see. He did, even though he hasn't hit a three, he was solid in his last game. So we'll see what happens. And I think that's about it. It's going to be enjoyable because it's Warriors basketball. But as far as storylines and stuff, there's not a ton there. Not a ton there, but I'm definitely going to enjoy it, as I always do. This is Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. Just a couple quick things before we head out. One of them is that came out today is DeJounte Murray tore his ACL and is out for the year, and that absolutely sucks. He's a guy who I am really high on. I like his game a ton. Physically, he's got like go-go gadget arms. The guy, what is it, stretch arms, strong arms. Defensive menace, a great player, potentially great player. Yeah, his jumper isn't quite there. But, you know, Andre Iguodala doesn't have a great jump shot. And he's kind of a guy who I compare to Andre because he may not be able to knock down, you know, 40% from three or anything like that. But he'll get you some buckets. He'll get to the hoop, and he's going to do everything else. He's a true point guard that can play, defend at least the two, the three. Four is tough because of how slight he is, but he definitely has the length to do it. And it's just a major hit to the Spurs who, they're the Spurs. I don't know why they wouldn't be back in the playoff hunt. I still think they'll be in the playoff hunt, at least before they lost DeJounte Murray. They've also been saying they're very high on Derek White, the former first-rounder out of Boulder, I think. But, you know, are they just saying that because that's what coaches say? Or are they really? I'll be interested to see what happens with him and the Spurs. So I just wanted to get that out there. It sucks. Never like seeing a player get hurt, especially a young guy like him. And then this just came out today also that Steph Curry and the guys talk about a three-peat. And it's kind of funny that that's like headline news. Because, of course they do. Why wouldn't they? They've won the last two, obviously, because if you're going for a three-peat, that means you will have to have won the last two. But just the idea that that's news or anything, like that, just because we're so used to or accustomed to people being like, no, we don't talk about that. Are you kidding me? Never. That would be bad. Like, why? Of course they're gonna. That's their goal. And it's realistic, and it's just funny. The world of sports media in today's age is pretty funny. But that's it. That's all I got. You guys enjoy the game. Come back tomorrow. I'll have a little game breakdown for you. Hopefully some exciting stuff to talk about. Maybe we'll finally get a resolution to Jimmy Butler or Pat McCaw or whatever. Maybe just something fun happens. That'd be cool, too. This has been Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Hey.